The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
There's something really very intriguing about our Lord's use of figurative language, as here in this text, I am the Good Shepherd. At first, we think we know what he means, because he's using something from the world of men to convey a truth about him and the kingdom of God. In this case, Jesus is like a shepherd, and his people are like sheep. Now, unlike his first hearers, of course, people like us, when we hear a text like this, don't know very much about sheep and shepherds. In fact, if you're like me, whatever you do know about sheep and shepherds, you've learned from the Bible, from passages like this one. Well, apparently, sheep need someone to take care of them, or else they get into trouble. Perhaps a prey for other animals, like a wolf. Horses and cattle seem able to fend for themselves to one degree or another, but not sheep. They need a shepherd. Well, so far, so good. The figurative language tells us something because of its connection to everyday life, at least everyday life in Palestine in the first century. But what soon becomes evident is that the experience of the here and now is not really capable of conveying the full truth about Christ and his kingdom. Just think of how different so many of Jesus' parables are from the way it really is in this life. For example, the sower goes out to sow his seed. But how does he do it? He throws it wildly all over the place. Stony ground, ground overrun with thorns, even on the pathway. That doesn't sound very realistic to me. Not if seed is valuable and you want a really good crop, I don't think you throw it that wildly. And how about the owner of the vineyard, who pays a full day's wage to people who only work the last hour of the day? And what about the Good Samaritan, who not only stops and helps a stranger, I guess that's barely imaginable, but then he pays the bill at the end for that man and even promises that he's going to pay more when he comes that way again. Now, all of these comparisons, I think, show us that the truths about God, about Jesus, and about us are like nothing that we ever experience in this life. The kingdom of heaven is really not like this. So here our Lord's comparison throws us a curve in the second sentence. I am the good shepherd, he says, and then adds, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd dies for the sheep? Is this really the test of a good shepherd in this life? The shepherd dies? Now, I'm sure it happened in first century Palestine, or at least I can imagine it, that a shepherd might die for his sheep. In a world without guns, predators like wolves and mountain lions could be very dangerous to sheep and shepherds both. But a herd of sheep, well, that's valuable property. So people probably did die in defending it. And initially, that's what our Lord seems to be talking about. A shepherd who stood his ground against the predator and died, unlike the hired hands who fled. But a real shepherd wouldn't want to die, didn't intend to die, but sometimes it happened. That was his job, and he stuck to it in spite of the danger, in spite of the cost. I think we can all imagine such a scenario. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about. The more we read, the deeper the mystery. For Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life." Apparently, the Good Shepherd is acting in two directions. On the one hand, he is acting toward the sheep who need protecting, but on the other hand, he is acting toward the Father who loves the shepherd. Now, the words Father and love don't really fit the world of sheep and shepherds. Owners aren't fathers who love the shepherds. No, they hire the shepherds to do a job. In this world, shepherds are hired hands. Maybe good ones who defend the sheep, but nonetheless, they're in it for the money, as are the owners. Wool, mutton, cash crops, so to speak. That's why owners have sheep. They're not pets. So the picture Jesus draws here is totally unreal. It's not the world of sheep and shepherds, even in the first century. But it is the world of the Savior. And that's the important thing. Now, there may be hints of the divine realities in this world. After all, we were made in the image of God. But they are only hints at best. And the comparisons always break down because, well, not only is God greater than anything we experience, but also because God's love is greater than anything we experience elsewhere. Human analogies are really too small to present the truth about God and his love. Now let's just pretend for a moment that we wanted to fit more of the Christ event into this particular comparison, the story of sheep and shepherds. How would we handle the incarnation? The shepherd becomes a sheep? That's not very believable. I mean, I don't care how valuable a herd of sheep may be, an owner is not going to become a sheep, even if the entire flock is going to die, but especially if it means that he has to die as well. But that's precisely what Jesus did, isn't it? He became a sheep. He became one of us, exactly like one of us, except without sin, so that he might live and die in our place. So he's not only the good shepherd, he is also the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And as for us, well, you know, we're really a lot worse than sheep. I mean, they may be stupid, always wandering off, but they're just animals who have no moral responsibility for the problems they cause their owners. But we're people with minds and wills. We can think, we can want. But what do we think and what do we want? Not the best, not even the good, but rather that which satisfies self. We are turned in on ourselves, and that means away from God and our neighbor. And this fundamental orientation of human nature, well, that explains all that we see and do, everything from the horrendous crimes to the inward thoughts, our lust, our envy, our anger, our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness, and on and on and on. All of that comes from the human heart. And so, we don't deserve any kind of shepherd, let alone a good one. But in spite of it, Jesus became one of us and laid down his life for the sheep. Now, just think about that for a moment. There's nothing more exciting, more important, more amazing than that word of the Lord which we hear this morning, I lay down my life for the sheep. Because Jesus not only said it, he did it. He laid down his life for the sheep. He redeemed mankind. And then he took up his life again on Easter and opened up the door to heaven and everlasting life for us. I mean, isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting? Isn't it wonderful to be sheep when we have a shepherd like Jesus? Of course it is. So now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.